You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello and welcome to the first show of 2021. This episode was recorded back in November 2020 and is a one-off special in which we have had a few drinks of alcohol and just talk about nothing in particular. It has only been edited to adjust for the sound quality and to take out long silences, but is otherwise the raw recording. This means for this show only, we will not be the three nicest guys in podcasting, and will use profanity, and as such, we have ticked the explicit box when uploading this podcast. If rude language and naughty words offend you, then please skip this episode and move on to our next show. If you're okay with profanity, and it's not really that bad, then continue to listen and enjoy the show. Thanks for listening, and on with the show.
I had a quick call with Sean yesterday just to make sure that Skype was going to work, which it did. And I was saying to him yesterday, I've just started watching Lost with my wife.
Nice.
And we're both enjoying it. So
nice. Yeah, it is good. Yeah. How far? So you've just got through season one.
I think we're on episode 8 or 9.
Okay.
And we have the Babylon 5 connection.
Yes, of course.
Good. It's good. It's exciting knowing that other people have seen it and it's been around for a long time. A bit like Battlestar, the same came out at the same time. And never seeing it and not knowing anything about it, it's brilliant. You know, it's great because I just don't know what's going to come around the corner. I never spoken to anybody about it before because it came out on Sky and of course we never saw it. So, we didn't really know that many people with Sky. And when they realized that I had seen it, they obviously weren't going to tell me about it other than a couple of people who said, it's right up your street. You really need to watch it. Well, I can't. So we got in touch. Did I mention this last time? We got in touch with our local, DVD.
Snips.
Snips, yes. Indeed.
I wondered if that's where you got it from.
Well, Sean, I think you might be aware that we've gone into another lockdown.
Yeah.
He's had to close. So I messaged him and said, well, before you close, how many box sets have you got? Because what we could do is if you're going to close for a month, we'll get a couple of box sets off you and we'll, watch them over the month. He said, absolutely no problem. And he gave me a photograph of all of the discs that he had. And I said, I'll have 11 of those, please. And on that list, if I can remember where it is, it will be here somewhere.
So by closed, do you mean he's just closed for lockdown?
He's just closed for lockdown. Yeah. So he sent me a photograph of all these discs. And I said, well, I'll have 11. I'll start with Lost. Eventually, I would like Top Cat, Dastardly and Muttley and Their Flying Machines, The Perils of Penelope Pitstop. There's four discs of Looney Tunes. And then we'll get on to Deadwood, Sopranos, Boston Legal, and I need to finish Frasier.
I love Frasier. Frasier is one of those shows that I've watched over and over again. It's in the Trek band of shows that I just keep going back to.
I have seen up to season 7.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and there's 9, isn't there? 9, 10 seasons?
10, 11, something like that. Yeah. It was a huge amount, wasn't it? So I nearly got to the end.
One of those shows where I loved Frasier first, and then as I've gone back and watched it as a dad, I now appeal to Martin much more, his dad, as a character, and it's completely changed as I've gone along.
Yeah, I obviously watched Cheers and then, but I never saw all of them. I just sort of watched it when it was on television now and again. Tried to catch as many seasons. I never saw the first few seasons, and then a few years back, I started watching Frasier. I thought, let's give this a go. I remember the character of Frasier and I know what he is. And so I started watching them. I got 7 seasons in and then I think I lost the impetus somewhere along the line. And then I got the box set of Cheers, so I've watched all of them. And I thought, I really need to get back now into Frasier again, because obviously he was a good character in Cheers, and he was developing. You could see him develop right the way through the seasons, and then, you know, to the point where he was almost as big as the show itself. So he needed his own show. I'll have to get back into that one. So although we haven't officially started the show, I'll probably edit this into the front
somewhere piece. In there.
Do it at the end.
But should we start the show officially and then just waffle from there?
I don't see why not.
Do it.
Okay. Am I doing it?
I think it's my turn to do the front part.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't even know where that script is. I don't have any.
We could do an in lockdown episode where the shop has just closed and we have no idea what we're doing. So, as opposed to every other time, yeah.
That's it. We're in lockdown, so we've had to close the shop. So we're all sat around the table. Brilliant. I like
Welcome to the Cosmic Pizza something or other.
Cosmic Pizza Pit Stop.
Something about slices and life. I don't know.
Somebody sliced.
I'll just wing it.
Yeah, okay, so I've hosted 8, Sean has hosted 3, and Dan has hosted 5. So I'd say it's Sean's turn.
That sounds about right.
It started off really well, and then suddenly you just stopped doing it.
Well, no, you guys have all the guests and stuff.
This is true. Well, get some guests then.
You're the last minute guy, though. Every episode that I listen to, so that I can sort of pick up key things to do the advertising and everything, you're like the guy who just comes in at the last 5 minutes of every episode and has that one point that then is just the throughput. Yeah, it's like,
that's right.
It's like the Kevin Smith of the podcast. You know, he says nothing throughout the whole film, and then he has the monologue right at the very end, and he sums up the whole movie.
Silent but deadly.
Just as well you're in Canada.
Yeah, no smell-o-vision on the sky. Yeah. That's true.
No. Okay, I'll just wing something.
which is the subtext to every podcast you do, isn't it?
Just pretty much.
Podcast, I'll just wing something. It's all Forge podcast. Oh, I'll just wing something.
I'm just going to start talking and we'll see what happens. Yes. Welcome to the Cosmic Pizza Podcast, the show of all sorts that sorts all by serving up a slice of life. What is your order? Ah, I see. The special it is. We will be there to deliver ASAP. Cosmic Pizza Podcast, special delivery.
Hey there, welcome to the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. It's a pizza in every bite. No, that doesn't even make any sense. I'm your host, Sean, and I've been drinking a bit. And with me today are...
Dan in the UK, apparently.
And Pissed Paul, but there you go.
Okay.
In the UK,
so, boys,
as well.
It's our wing it kind of podcast. We've been drinking and we're just going to talk about stuff. Paul's going to have to edit it and we're going to see what comes out and see if it's an episode or not.
Yep, that's it. I will edit it in an explicit content at the beginning of the show, because obviously I've just said a naughty word and nobody was ready for it. So, we are going to be free with our language. And free with our drinks as well.
That's right. So for context's sake, this is coming out sometime in January, I believe. But as we're recording, it's Remembrance Day. It's November 11th, 2020. For me, it's 4:30 in the afternoon. For you guys, it's 9:30, and I've already been drinking for an hour. luckily, Remembrance Day in Canada is a stat for the postal workers.
Nice.
So I had the day off, I got my tires changed, I went and got a tattoo appointment for January, I started drinking, and here we are, recording the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. Apparently, I'm the host, but we're all pretty much the hosts. So we're just going to see what happens.
Okay, so you've got three. I've got three questions for you, just on that one sentence, then, Sean. Okay, so you've had the day off,
yeah,
and you had your tires changed. Is this just a general tire change, or do you go to snow tires? Because I know you do have a lot of snow up there.
Yeah, it's the winter tire change. So I always have Remembrance Day off, so that's usually when I have the day off. So I get my tires changed, I get the oil changed, and they switch it out. And then sometime in the spring, I'll get it switched out again to the summer tires, and I'll do another oil change.
Ah, very good. This is ironic, right? Okay, so I've had the day off today. Sadly, I've been to a funeral, which is it was a good service, but anyway, we won't dwell on that. It wasn't a family member; it was a friend of mine whose mother had passed away. And ironically, at the weekend, I too am having my car serviced, and over here we get an MOT, which, you know, is basically a legal requirement that the government checks that your car is safe for the road for the next year. So it's all happening at the same time.
Very nice. And another little known fact about Remembrance Day, it's also the anniversary of what would have been my wedding anniversary if we had stayed married.
Okay.
There are some things you have to remember. Yeah.
So anybody who listened to the Rusted Robot podcast that I do, the first 90 episodes were co-hosted by my then wife, who's not my wife anymore, and she's no longer the co-host.
Well, one of your then wives is, I think, is best to say.
Hey, I've only been married once.
Ah. Oh, okay. There you go.
Yes.
So we can't quite call you Henry VIII just yet.
Not quite.
Yeah. So the other thing I was going to say is tattoo. What are you getting, and where will it be? If it's not a rude question,
it's not a rude question at all. I'm going to get a representation of my grandfather's airplane because it was named the Betty Lou, which was my grandmother's name. So it's going on my right arm, which is my memorial tattoo arm for my grandparents.
Oh, what airplane was that then?
It was a yellow Piper Club, a Piper Cub.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and was that just a plane he used for recreational purposes, or was it a commercial vehicle?
I don't know. I think he was just a fun time pilot. He liked to fly planes, and so he did. And I have vague memories of being really, really young and flying in planes with him. I don't think the one that I'm going to get the picture of. I think that was an earlier plane that he had, but it's the one I've got pictures of, and it's got Grandma's name on it, so it'll represent both of them.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just trying to bring up the chat bit of the.
So that tattoo is scheduled to be published, completed, drawn on my body as of January 25th next year.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Is that lockdowns and everything permitting, or is that locked in and that sort of they've like allowed for it?
I think as long as you wear your mask, you're okay to go.
Nice.
From what I understand, anyway.
And then you're going to build up to getting a pizza slice and, you know, having a rusted robot.
And an anvil for the Soulforge podcast. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, sort of definitely. Three symbols and then our three faces in between them, you know, and just, you know, keep it on. Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
I'm going to get it, like, on my back so that all of our faces are almost life-size.
That's it, perfect, yeah. Yeah, it must be to scale. And then, you know, obviously when you come over to the UK and then we're all seeing it, then yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Each of our faces on a corner of the slice of the pizza pie.
Just don't put me on a cheek.
I can't promise.
I've put a picture in the chat thing.
Yes, it's similar to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the Piper Cub that I've put in there, in case anybody's listening. Not a picture of my face on Sean's cheek. Let's just get that clear.
Yeah, good.
It's amazing
good
you had that photo to hand. I
mean, you don't know what goes on around here behind the scenes.
That's what sci-fi in the back office is all about. Yep.
That's right. Here in the back office of the pizza shop, in the ovens.
Yeah, when we said
what,
we
would have. I mean, what happens in the ovens stays in the ovens.
Yeah, when we say that, you know, the sci-fi waffle was good crack.
Yeah, You know, Paul, I still have my sci-fi waffle mug that you sent me.
Ugh, you mean this one? Where are we?
That's the one, exactly.
Ooh, well,
because it's that small, Julie uses it for her coffee usually.
Oh, right, okay. Because there has been a suggestion by my wife that I should get a new one made up.
For the Cosmic Pizza Podcast!
Yes, so we need to think of whether we like the logo or get a logo, and then we'll... which one to use, and then we'll stick it on a mug, and I'll get them made up, and I'll send them out to you.
Well, the one we've been using at the moment is only just because it fits the JPEG size that the pod allows for. So, yeah, if we've got a new logo, go for it.
Well, I was going to use the old one, but whatever we've got, really. Yeah, okay, so what I'm finding this, what's everybody drinking tonight then? I mean, for the podcast purposes, I know what Sean's drinking, but tell us, Sean, what are you drinking?
Well, earlier, before we started recording, I had a screwdriver, some vodka and orange juice, and currently I'm drinking some Kraken and Coca-Cola.
That's nice.
That's 47% dark spiced rum.
That's nice.
What are you drinking, Danny boy?
Well, we didn't have any alcohol in the entire house until about an hour ago when my wife got home from the shops. I'm currently drinking a knockoff brand of fruit cider, dark fruit cider, from our local very cheap supermarket called Taurus.
Hmm.
There we go.
It would be better if you could have got a couple of bottles of Copperberg.
Mm.
Copperberg. I know Copperberg do rum, actually. That's something I need to check out.
It's lovely.
But Copperberg do... Yeah, they do a fruit cider, and we bottle it. So if you could buy that, it would help my pension no end. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Next one. The next one I buy.
Excellent. That'll be the one. Yeah. Excellent idea. Yes.
Summer fruits.
Right. On the list.
Paul, what are you drinking, buddy?
I am drinking... I'm on a gin tonight. I'm going to start with gin. I'm going to have three drinks because that'll make me squiffy. I am on my current favourite at the moment. If I just show this, is Asda's own brand of rhubarb and ginger gin. Nice. So it's a gin liqueur, which is very nice, quite sweet. Does taste of rhubarb and ginger. And then as we go through the night, I'll move on, but I will say what I'm moving on to a bit later. And I'm using Asda's own lemonade as well, which horrifies Americans because they're thinking, oh my goodness, a lemonade? Lemonade? It's over there, it'd be 7-Up. That's the sort of lemonade we have over here.
Well.
Yeah. Walmart, yes, I should have mentioned that as well, yes. Because I was going to say, Asda... owns Walmart, but not so in the future. That's going to change. It's been bought by British brothers, who are going to own it. So that's good. We're getting wrestling back off the Yanks.
There you go. Can't trust those Americans, especially with their election kerfuffles right now.
Blimey. Yeah. What is happening
with
that?
Yeah.
We'll leave that to the historians to yes. parse out. But, yeah, so my drink is almost gone, and I didn't bring anything else downstairs, so I'm just going to have to coast on the good feelings that I've got right now.
Oh, man.
Well, I need to grab another can, horribly wrong. So if we need to take a two-minute break, I'm all good.
I got all mine up here. I'm quite happy.
You were thinking ahead. That's a smart move. Oh, look at all those bottles of booze. Yeah, so we decided that I was going to get this tattoo in January because originally I had that week off so that Julie and I could go on a fancy vacation somewhere overseas. But because of COVID, I'm not allowed to go anywhere. I've never gone overseas. The last time I tried to go, it was canceled twice by the airlines. So I don't have any luck getting out of Timmins. So it's a very sad turn of events. So I'm going to get a tattoo instead that week.
Yeah, okay. Get a tattoo of an airplane because you can't go on one.
That's, you know what, I didn't even think about that, but that, yes, correct.
That's the closest you're going to get to one.
That's right. And now, do you boys have any tattoos? The listeners want to know.
No. I am very afraid of needles, so I wouldn't like to, but having said that... If I ever did get one, and maybe if my wife was no longer with me, I might have the courage to go up and do it. But I would have The only, and again, you've got to think ahead, because you've got to think, you know, in a few years' time, will I still like the things that I have? And so far, the things that have stayed with me would be the Chicago Bears, so I'd have a big C on the, on maybe on one arm, upper arm. Mm-hmm. On the other side, C with a number 34 underneath it, because Walter Payton is my all-time hero of, not just sporting, but also he was an incredible person. If anybody knows the Chicago Bears, football player from the early 80s. So I'd maybe do that on one arm. On another arm, I might have my local football team, but that's a bit harder because they're so up and down. It'd be hard to put that on. But certainly over my left side of my chest, you know, sort of upper chest there, I would have a Star Trek badge put on there.
The communicator.
Exactly. We'll go right there.
I thought about that too, but when you take your shirt off and you go to the beach, it's all the embarrassment of it. But like I did in the last Soulforge podcast, you just got to get over that shit. Just do what you want. Display your
exactly.
Yeah, what is it? Geek flag fly. Let your geek flag fly proudly.
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, I've got quite a hairy chest, so it would be hidden. But unfortunately, as I'm getting older, that it's now gone grey, so it becomes a bit more see through, so it would see it. But I never get my top off outside, so that's not going to be a problem.
Oh, there you go. It's not a big deal. What about you, Dan?
Nothing. Again, same as Paul. It's one of those things I've always wanted to do. And, you know, I was going through a bit of an early midlife crisis. I think it was a mid-midlife crisis a couple of years ago. So I designed two different tattoos. One was the Delta insignia from Star Trek, but around sort of the edging around it would have been written in sort of Stardate format, would have been all the dates of birth of my children and our anniversary and all that sort of thing. So it would be sort of hidden in the text of it. So it would be very, very small. And that would be sort of either on the side of one arm or maybe on the shoulder blade. The other one that I wanted to get was again a Star Trek one, but I don't really know how it's going to work, but it would be the writing of all the different major races, but spelling out a word that means something to that race. So for humanity, it would be exploration written down in one line. Then it would be logic, but written in the script of Vulcan. And then it would be honor, but written in the Klingon script. And it would just be the lines upon lines of text. And it would mean nothing to anyone, but it would be like a small square. And then I was thinking it would be framed in the Elcars kind of banding, but it'd be like a square thing. And that would definitely be on the arm, almost like a flag. But it would be all the different words written that way. I've drawn it out, but you know, until I get the right script and how it would look and all that kind of stuff, I want to get it spot on so that, you know, when you whip it out at a convention, everyone just goes, yeah. Amazing. You didn't wear out your money and waste it on something stupid. Yeah.
There you go. That's not a bad idea. I like it. Actually, speaking of script, what I was thinking of doing was getting the initials IDIC across my knuckles. You know, instead of like fate or hate or love or something like that, I'd get IDIC and nobody would know what it meant because I would get it in like a Klingon script or something.
Yeah, then it doesn't look right then. It looks like you've just, you know, burnt your fingers or something.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't quite work.
Yeah, so I haven't done that. I do have a Vulcan pinup tattoo on my left leg though. Where she's a sexy lady and she's smiling, even though she's a Vulcan. She's got the live long and prosper hand symbol in one hand and a phaser in the other.
Dear God.
So a bit of a mashup.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
it had to be unique. It's like a sexy 50s pinup style.
Oh, there you go.
I'm nothing if not unique.
Yes. Yeah. So I still think you should go for that one on the back of the leg. It's like
the ripped skin with the Terminator guts underneath.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm thinking of putting that on my right forearm. Like like you see Arnold has in the movie from '84.
Yeah, when he stripped his hand off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something like that. A cross between him and Luke Skywalker's mechanical arm. That's one day down the road, perhaps. So what else should we talk about on this exciting episode of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast, Drunk Edition?
So what else are people watching on TV at the minute? Let's go back to that.
Well, let's see. Of course, in the timeline right now, episode 4 of Star Trek Discovery came out last week.
Yes.
Are you guys have it over there?
Yep.
You guys, yeah, you've been watching it?
Nope.
No?
You're missing out.
Paul, what's going on?
I don't mind watching Star Trek, but I'll wait. I'll wait until it comes back on. The new one. What's it called? Brave New World. Whatever it's called.
Discovery?
Strange
New World. That's the one. I'll wait for that to come out.
Whenever that comes out.
But that'll be on something that I probably can't get, like Amazon or something. So, I don't know.
What do you think, Dan? What do you think of episode 4?
I'm loving it. Well, they've got the perfect balance. They've now got the overarching story, but they're sort of going episodic with it. They're going back to formula.
Mm-hmm. Season 3 is so different.
Different. It's almost like the first two seasons were the first two episodes of the very first season. You know, when they had the two episodes of the Battle of the Binaries and it was all just background and it was the prologue, mm-hmm. and these are the characters, this is the setup. And then we're actually going to get into the series proper after series 3. The first two seasons seem to be that. Like, we've set up the characters, you know who Saru is, you know who Burnham is, you know what they've been through. And now, this is Discovery proper. This is what we had in the back burner. And you kind of see that they were kind of planning it out now from this episode that's just been with Zora, the computer that's come to life, which they set up in Short Treks ages ago.
And the Calypso, like number was just episode 4 or something.
Set in an alternate timeline that was never going to come back and never going to lead to anything. And now she's come back and she's playing Buster Keaton movies for all the crew to keep them happy. And you know, they're sitting in the hangar deck with popcorn, and Giorgio and Linus seem to be having a relationship, the Sauron. And, you know, Detmer's getting over her PTSD. Stamets is, you know, Stamets was a bit weird this episode. I didn't enjoy that one. It sort of felt like he'd reset the character, like he wasn't, he hadn't gone through all this stuff.
He's definitely not my favorite character, but Detmer, not only is she gorgeous and cybernetic, but, she's one of my favorites, even though she doesn't get a lot of screen time.
But it looks like she's going to get it. You know, she's actually going to get the attention that all of the behind the scenes characters sort of missed out on the first two seasons. But
yes,
the whole Adira storyline, the use of the Trill, going back to Trill and sort of seeing how hosts can come into it, and you know, the decimation that's happened to the Trill society since all the ships blew up. All the spoilers. All the spoilers. but, you know, seeing that, you know, the Trill don't have enough hosts for the symbionts, and because no one can get to the homeland anymore. It was just fun. It was such a good callback all the way through the episode. And Dr. Kolber, I think that was probably his best episode. He actually felt like he was a doctor for once. He wasn't just the guy who got killed off all the time.
That's right. Yeah, and I keep trying to get Josh, my co-host on the Rusted Robot podcast, to watch it. And he's like, nope, I watched the first 5 episodes of the first season, and that's it! And I'm never watching it again! And I'm like, you said you were a Star Trek fan. And he's like, I am, but that's not Star Trek. And I'm like, well, I don't mean to be a gatekeeper of fandom, but you need to watch this thing.
But I am a gatekeeper.
I totally agree with him.
That's just it. Because they've reset this season, it feels like you could just start from episode 1. You know there's these characters.
Yep.
All you need to know is they travel through time to escape a dangerous AI from the past, and that's it. That's literally all you need to know, and they've reset everything.
It's like a soft reboot.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, they realized the mistake.
In at season 3.
That's what it is.
Oh, it's so good. You know what? I've been watching all this stuff, and I listen to podcasts about it, and I read the articles about it, and there's nothing that I love more than Star Trek. Nothing makes me that emotional. It's crazy. It's like, I don't know what it is, but there you have it. It's Star Trek. It's my number one love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and Captain Saru just calling all of the crew for a dinner together. That just reminded me of every work meal, every awkward work meal I've ever been on. where everyone gets forced into sitting there and having to talk without talking about shop, even though everyone needs to talk about shop because everyone's working in the same team. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so yeah. Awkward and
so good. So good.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah. But speaking of things we've been watching, I watched The Old Guard on Netflix. Have you seen it?
Yes.
It's Charlize Theron, and she's an immortal being, and they do things, and stuff happens, and it looks like it's going to be like a series of movies, but it was really, really good. I wasn't expecting much from it, but holy crap, it was all about immortality and whatnot.
Ooh. A lot of Highlander vibes I was getting from it. So the idea that there's this secret underground of immortals, and they are always, you know, tasked with these different missions, but they don't really want to do it anymore. Really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I enjoyed that. I watched something called Peppermint with... it's also on Netflix. Who is it with? Jennifer Garner, I think. And her family is gunned down in front of her, and so she spends 5 years training and then coming back to town and taking revenge. That was really good, too.
Nice.
Yeah, wow. Just a throwaway popcorn action flick, but really good.
Nice.
And Gemini Man I watched on Amazon Prime with Will Smith fighting his clone of himself.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that, Dan?
I saw the reviews. I haven't seen the film.
It was good. Oh, it was good. I wasn't I enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting too much from it, but yeah, yep. And I'm 2 or 3 episodes into something called Warrior Nun. It's also on Netflix.
Please tell me you mean nun as in, you know, Catholic priest type.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yes. It's about an orphan girl who has died at the beginning of the episode. And then there's a group of warrior nuns, and the leader of the warrior nuns dies, and they have to take the halo out of her back and hide it from the bad guys who are coming to get them. And so they put it in the dead girl. And then the dead girl comes back alive, and now she can see demons and whatnot.
You've got to tell me that she uses nunchucks.
Not yet. Not yet. I'm only 3 of the episodes in, so no nunchucks yet, but that would be awesome.
Painted black and white. They are nunchucks.
Yes.
How much nun would a nunchuck...
No, chuck if a nunchuck could chuck nuns? There you go. Yeah. No, so I'm enjoying that, and I think I mentioned on last week's Rusted Robot podcast, Dan started watching The Witcher, so I started watching The Witcher, because I was like, oh yeah, I forgot I was supposed to watch The Witcher. So I'm, I don't know, 2 or 3 episodes
I totally that. Got your review about the mumbling. The sound seems a bit off. I don't know whether it's Netflix or it's just our TV or something, but
you can't understand
whenever they're
talking
about, you know, Nildenfrind of Gullfjordberga, and the volume is not quite right, and then you suddenly get this explosion of sound when there's the action, and then it goes super quiet and they start talking like this, and that's the plot. We need to hear this bit, you know, turn up the volume.
I can't keep up.
I didn't have any problem with that.
Yeah. But, you know, it could be a sound issue, but yeah, I'm getting into it now. And, you know, every now and then my kid asked me for some juice today, and I would just turn to him and just went, "Are you really wanting the juice? Give me some coin now."
Toss a coin to your Witcher.
Just don't turn around and go, "Fuck."
I'm tempted to most of the time.
Oh, and I don't know if this is appropriate for our listeners to listen to, but I spoke to Mike, the head of the ESO network, and like I mentioned to Paul yesterday, I said, do we want to put the Cosmic Pizza podcast on the ESO network so we can get some more exposure? And so Paul said he was okay with it. How do you feel, Dan?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, get us out there. I don't mind.
Okay, so I spoke to Mike today, and what he wants is an email sent to him with our links and all of our relevant information. So I'll give you that later, Paul, so that you can send him a couple of our episodes so he can hear if it matches with the ESO Network's vibes.
Okay. Send him a couple of good ones then.
Yeah.
Sorry, send him the 2 good ones.
The two of the 10 good ones. Yeah. And, so all we would have to do is put a snippet at the beginning and a snippet at the end, their ESO network tags, and then a promo for another podcast at random in the middle of an episode somewhere. like I do on Rusted Robot and Soulforge podcasts.
So go and listen to the Rusted Robot podcast. Go and listen to the Soulforge podcast. Go and listen to the Temporal Trek podcast. And that's it. We're done.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect. Yes. Okay. So I'll give you that information later, and you can send him that, and he'll send you something back, and we'll go from there, and maybe we'll be on the ESO network, and maybe we'll get two more listeners.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. Well, the more people that listen, the better chance we get of actually getting some feedback or something.
Feedback? Feedback? What's that?
When the microphone goes into the speaker and you get that sort of noise.
Yes. I got
you. I was wondering where we get our special effects from. Yeah.
Yeah, me going.
Okay, so I've talked a lot. How about, what do you guys say some things?
Okay, so I'm talking about what we were watching and things. I'm currently doing a rewatch of Battlestar Galactica from 2000 and whatever it was, 4, 6, 6?
Yeah, 4 to 9.
4 to 9, wow, there you go. Which is good. I'm watching that with my wife. I think she's struggling a little bit with it. I can understand why. When I first saw it, I was a bit not quite happy with it, but it really sort of does start to get a lot better once the characters settle down and stop messing around.
At least there's no bumpy-headed aliens.
True. They're just big lumps of goo in a metal machine.
Yeah.
Or lifelike.
Mm.
Or us. it's a bit... There's a couple of characters there. I can't stand that Colonel Ty. He's okay, but then his wife comes on board and she's just a tit. Starbuck, I have no problem with Starbuck being a woman. That was fine by me. And the fact that she's a strong character, again, not a problem. But drinking and smoking, I think, was a bit too much for the character. I think they need to knock that on the head.
Didn't they smoke cigars in the 70s one? I seem to remember.
Yes, they probably did. They probably did, yeah. Oh, I think Starbuck did, yes. Yeah. But I'd rather...
Like, am I thinking of A-Team? Because obviously face being... Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everybody smoked cigars in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, maybe, I don't know. Was it being a children's program? I don't know. Yeah. Oh, it wasn't really a children's program, was it? But you know what I mean. I'd have to go back and look.
I might be thinking of the 1980 one where they went to... Well, they finally got to Earth and they sort of saw... our world, but in the 80s, they might have picked up a cigar or something. That might be what I'm thinking.
Okay, I never got to the end of the 70s, 80s version. Ooh. I remember seeing the film. I got through some of the TV series, but of course, as you do in when you're that age, that young, you don't stick with things, and if they come on when you're not expecting it, you've missed the season. It's not like now where you can put series link record on something and it'll get every single one of them. It's a bit harder to do. Back in the day when you had to be there in front of your TV at 8 o'clock or whatever the time would be, and you know, if you missed it, that was it. Tough shit. You don't see it for another couple of years until the repeats come back on. So, yes. Hence the reason we got so many DVDs, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, so I'm watching that. I'm watching Lost.
Watching Lost for the first time, I hear.
It is, for the first time, yeah. Again, we suffered from the fact that we didn't have Sky for many, many years, and therefore lost out on the likes of Game of Thrones and Lost and various other things that would pop up on Sky but not necessarily come onto the BBC or the free channels that we get over here. So I've been to my local DVD store, and he has the entire box set on there. So we've got the first season of that out. Me and my wife watching it. We're 8 episodes in, and we're really enjoying it. So we'll see how that goes.
And your new favorite song is Drive Shaft?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
You are everybody.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the bit I like. Yeah. So, yeah. It's good. It's good. We're liking that. And I just mentioned their Game of Thrones. Have either of you two seen Game of Thrones? Yes.
No. I've seen everything except for the last season.
Right.
You missed nothing.
So, yeah. you missed the coffee cup. That's all I know.
I know about the coffee cup. I heard about it. It was all over social media last year.
That's right. It just so happens that I now have Sky, so I can. So the box sets are available on Sky of that. So I thought, should I? No, it's not really my thing. That sort of mystical world with dragons and stuff. It's not normally my sort of thing.
But Dr. Bashir is in it.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
I know there's quite a few people who turn up in it, but I didn't know he was in it. Okay, right. So that's good to look forward to. I have watched half of the first episode.
Okay.
And then my wife came in and I thought, I'm going to have to turn this off. There's only so many times I can rewind it to watch. Oh, I've got the name. Daenerys getting naked every year, getting into the bath.
Right. Yeah. Maybe I should watch it all over again.
Just the first half of the first episode. Okay, you see a couple of heads rolling, but. Yeah. And that's why I didn't really watch it the first time around, or do it. I mean, I have had opportunities to see it previously, DVD box sets, etc. But it's not the sort of thing that me and my wife were going to sit down. I mean, she's not a prude by any means, but it's not the sort of thing I wouldn't be comfortable watching it in front of her. I'd feel more embarrassed for her than I would if I was watching it on my own. It's fine. But I, she's a church-going Christian person, and yes, she has watched stuff. I mean, she watched a bit of The Witcher, and thought that was quite good. But
and there's naked people in that,
and there's naked people in that, and sword fights and things. So, and lots of explicit language. She probably would, but I think she'd get bored with it very quickly and say, "Oh, it's as though the writers are like 14-year-old kids, and they're just saying, how many naked women can we get into this scene?
As many as possible.
Get them naked, get this brother and sister together. Oh, that'll be a laugh." So,
what's the plot point that requires these people to be naked? Yes, TV, who cares?
And it's a bit. I mean, I'm sorry, Sean, but I'm going to reference Kenny Everett on this because there was a character that he used to do called Cupid Stunt. If you reverse a couple of the letters there, you'll see what I mean. And he would dress up as a woman with, of course, these big fake breasts, covered up, but only just. And she would be on this chat show, and she'd be going, "Oh my god!" Her latest film, and it would always end up with, "And then all of the clothes fall off," and they're all naked, and it's every film she's done is like any excuse to get her naked. And I think that's very much going to be the same with this. In what way can we get these people naked?
Sounds I always loved the plastic chest that he had that he kept on sort of playing and fondling with as he was sort of doing it. It reminded me of Ricardo Montalban. It was very plastic and very, very, very stout, but he was just like, it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. And of course, it was all done in the best possible taste.
Love it.
Do you know what, guys? I think it's time for a promo for another podcast on the ESO Network.
Are you tired of podcasts only covering good movies or bad movies? Where could you possibly turn to find both in one convenient place?
There has got to be a better way.
Well, now there is. Try the podcast Double Edge Double Bill, where Adam and Thomas dive into both a good and a bad film in every episode. Sound too good to be true? Well, listen to this testimonial.
Double Edge Double Bill got me to watch Total Recall and Junior in one night. I was both entertained and scarred permanently. Thanks, Double Edge Double Bill.
Available now on the ESO Network and wherever podcasts are streamed.
Yes, anyway, so, and I'm also doing my first watch of Poirot, which is the Agatha Christie TV series from mid to late 80s and into the 90s.
Is
as
that,
well.
That's David Suchet.
David Suchet. Yes. Yeah. Using the little grey cells, you know. So, he's absolutely awesome in it. I mean, I've now got halfway through all the episodes, of which is about 70-odd, and I've now got to the point where I've never seen them before. So I haven't seen the last, the run-up to the end and that season. So all of these are new. So I don't know who's done it, even though I've read most of the books many years ago. It's a lot of fresh stuff. I'm watching stuff I've never seen before, which is, you know, it's something, it's taken me a while to get out of the habit of just buying stuff I've seen before and watching it again and again. And my wife likes to do that with films and things.
Cause it's comforting. Mm. It's comforting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I now have the trilogy of Agatha Christie, with, Poirot and Miss Marple and Sherlock Holmes from, obviously Arthur Conan Doyle. And those are the three best things that were ever made in the '80s. The actors they used for those nailed the performances. They got the characters right. They were the right people. Phenomenal acting. I don't know about Miss Marple, but the other two certainly, that they really got into character, where they would stay in character all day, and you know, all the filming they did, they would still be in that character. Even you know, like a break for lunch, they're still in that character, which scared a few people with the Sherlock Holmes, but. That sort of dedication from actors to put that performance in shows on the screen. And that's probably why they've never really been redone as a TV series. Because I think they've absolutely nailed them in the '80s.
Mm. It sounds very British.
Oh, yes. Miss Marple is certainly very British.
Very quiet, yes.
And Agatha Christie is very British. Mm. I mean, you can see, you know, obviously set in, you know, 1930s Britain, and it was all Mr. This and Sir That, and how dare you, sir, and you know, all this type of thing. So it's.
Yeah, historical set pieces is very hit and miss for me. And the British sensibility is very hit and miss for me as well, depending on what it is.
Yeah. Oh, I get that. Yeah, it's not for
drinking the cider with the little pinky finger up, obviously.
Yeah, I see that. I see that. That's pretty good. And, where are your tea and crumpets?
Oh, they're on the other side. Oh, you can't see it for the Skype background.
Oh, okay.
And of course, I have tea with lumps. Lumps.
One lump or two.
Lumps.
I've just got. Let me fill you with crumpets, my dear.
I said, pardon.
Time for tiffin. Oh dear, there's lots of.
Okay, yeah. Dan, what have you been watching?
Well, we've gone through The Witcher, so there's already that. We've been going through sort of steadily through all the box sets. We pick a box set and we stick with it, and we also do sort of a short comedy thing. So if the kids are being complete arseholes and not going to bed, you know, if we can't get through a full hour of something before we have to go to sleep because we're exhausted, we do like a short episode or something. So we just finished the BBC comedy Ghosts, which is a brilliant show about, it's a couple who land on their feet and they get this old British mansion because the girl of it is, you know, descended from landed gentry. So she's got this mansion in the house. They move in, they think they've got it made, only to find that it's completely dilapidated and it's completely filled with ghosts. And all the ghosts are played by the actors from the Horrible Histories TV show. Which was a kids' TV show over here, which was the educational historical show, but it was made for kids. But most of the jokes are for adults. And only if you're an adult do you actually get all the innuendo and some of the euphemisms that they come up with. It's a brilliant, brilliant show. All the different ghosts are from different eras. The girl can only see them because she had a knock to the head when she fell over in the mansion, and now she has to talk to them and get on with them. Her partner can't see them, and it's sort of the comedy go-betweens and all the farce that comes from that. It's absolutely brilliant. It's really, really good. If people around the seas, maybe BBC America might be showing it, I guess, but over here it'd be on BBC Standard or the BBC iPlayer. But really, really good and well worth a look. Very, very short, only 20 minute episodes, and I think there's only 8 episodes every season. It's only 2 seasons at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. It's really, really good. Yeah. Love it.
Well, then I think that is a good time to mention our sponsor, Norton VPN. So if you go to nortonvpn.com/cosmicpizza and put in the promo code PIZZAPODCAST, you can get Norton VPN for as little as $300.
No, I wonder what the other tattoo you were going to get was. It's the Norton VPN. Oh, you can read it now. Oh, I can just about see
it.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I just think it'd be nice to have like a sponsor, like the big podcasts have, and you put in the promo code and you get something for free to the listeners.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we get like a bit of a kickback. But right.
Get a Patreon going as well. Yeah, I need a new microphone. Yeah.
I could use some new stuff too, but in 7 years of podcasting, it's been pretty sparse.
Yeah, you've got empty shelves behind you, Sean. You need to fill them with more starships.
That's very true.
Well, you know what? If friggin' Eagle Moss would send me my fucking shit, I could put up some more ships. But no, apparently in Canada, we are out of stock for some reason.
You've got them all, that's why.
Well, I've got 60-some of them here, but there's like 180 of them. You know, I know it's expensive and I don't mind not spending any money, but I want to get my fucking ships on my fucking shelf.
That's one of the taglines they're going to use on the sales pitch for like the next line that comes out. I want to get my fucking stuff on my fucking shelf.
That's right. Like, come on. I've been subscribed for like 6 or 7 years and for years at a time they stop sending to Canada for some reason. It's a piss off.
Just go on eBay. I'm sure somebody's selling them off.
Yeah, I know, but it's not the point. I want the official stuff from the official company. Damn it. First world problems. Yeah. It's the only kind I have.
I can see this man retiring to the UK.
I might have to go over there and live there so I just get my ships on time.
Get your ship together.
Right? Since Eagle Moss is a British company, you should put in a word for me.
Yeah, like we have any clout.
We're in lockdown now, but we'll just go around the corner and we'll go and shout them. We'll be fine. It's a very small island.
We'll put a brick through the window and climb in and get all the stock. Look on the V for Vandaloo. Hey, there it is. Look, it's all here.
Yeah, all my ships are just waiting there on the shelf over there. And they're like, I know he wants them, but we're not going to get them until like 2023.
Well, Dave, do you think we should finally send this to this bloke? Nah, let's make him wait for one more month. Yeah, be all right.
No, don't be stupid. Vandaloo, come on, that's not a real name.
That's right. Come on, can't you guys talk to the Queen on my behalf?
Oh, she's popping around for a cup of tea tomorrow. I'll have a word.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
She told me she was busy. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Me and Charlie, boy. Yeah, I'll have a word with Charlie. Be all right.
Chuck and Camilla, eh?
Yeah.
Or as you call them, Chuck and Cammy.
Chuck and Chlamydia.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of anything else we're doing. We just finished Community. That was the only other TV show that we've been watching, Community. The US sort of sitcom show.
Yeah, it's got Chevy Chase in it.
Well, it had Chevy Chase in it. Yeah, he was in for only four seasons, and then they kicked him out after he said a few things. And then some of the characters sort of left along the way. But there's four main ones who kind of stay through the whole show. It's good. It's all right. It's good sort of pop culture references, and there's, you know, every season there's a paintball fight that happens on campus, and it's always, you know, what are they going to reference this time? You know, the first season it was zombies, then the second season was Western, then it was a Star Wars theme, you know, and each paintball fight gets more and more ridiculous as it goes on. But very good. It's a good show.
I think I've seen one or two episodes.
It's something you can come back to quite easily. I think it's quite easy going.
Mm-hmm. Well, lately I've been finding there's so much pop culture, it's impossible to consume everything that you're interested
thank
in.
Thank God for lockdown.
I still have to work.
Of course, yeah.
I'm an essential worker. I have to deliver the mail to all these assholes, parcels for arseholes, you know? Like, it doesn't end. I don't get any time off. Except for today, because it's Remembrance Day and it's a stat holiday, luckily. But no, it's the worst pandemic ever, worst apocalypse. I worked through the whole thing. Like, I don't have any advantage at all.
That's what it is. They were going to send you the ships today, but obviously it's your day off, so no one's delivering to you. So that's what it is.
Right?
Every single
time. I knew it. Fucking conspiracies.
They'll probably try to fob you off and say, look, we've posted them to Canada, but your delivery man must be hoarding them.
Right.
Well, let me tell you.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Then they hold up a picture and it's someone who kind of looks like you, but he doesn't have the goatee. So he's like, good Sean, and you're the mirror universe, Sean.
Oh, that's right. good times, guys.
Can you imagine a mirror image Canadian? What would that be like?
Probably be more polite than I am. So what should be our next topic of conversation?
Okay, now? So I think as we are struggling for things to do, we should do a review episode, a clip episode. So what I want to know is, and we'll start with Dan, what has been your favourite episode that we have recorded over the last, what have we done now, 13 episodes? When by the time this comes out?
Yeah, we're now, we just released episode 11. Yeah, episode 11 just came out today. It's got to be Fight Night, hasn't it? I mean, that's got to be, that was the most fun. To hear you and Owen going at it, defending or taking down this one random movie in the 90s that someone took umbrage at your opinions of. And it was just fun. I hadn't actually heard that sort of concept done as a podcast before. I'd seen it on, say, YouTube, because it's a visual medium. You can have kind of like a movies fight kind of thing and two people who don't like it. And then you've got the central guy who's trying to keep them back and all this sort of stuff. But I'd never really heard it on a podcast and I didn't know whether it would work. And it did. You guys just went for it. And it was really good to sort of see you coming down. And of course, the constant references you made to, you know, Black Rubber and, everything that Nicole Kidman did in that movie or didn't do. Yeah, just that episode for me stands out, I think.
I'm surprised I actually won that debate.
Having seen the film, I think that was a no-brainer, really, wasn't it, that you were going to win that?
Well, that's true, but my arguments are not the best. I'm not good at arguing. But I think maybe one of my favorite episodes is the last one we did because there was a pretty girl on the screen.
Okay, you've taken not the words out of my mouth, but that was going to be my favorite episode because we had somebody intelligent on the show.
Yeah, who seems like she actually knew what she was talking about.
Yeah, well, it didn't seem like it. She actually did know what she was talking about. Yeah?
Right, because she has her own conspiracy theory podcast.
Yeah, that was Casey.
Know, it was nice that she took... She took some time out of her schedule to talk to us.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's a really good podcast, and I was glad she came on, and she was so, so good. Really enjoyed talking to her, and she kept the conversation going, and it was just a natural podcaster, and that was great to have somebody a little bit more professional than we are, maybe, to come on and talk, and not leave maybe huge gaps in between saying, what are we going to talk about next?
Right.
So
but this is the anything goes episode though.
Yeah,
so that's okay.
Right. Yeah, but no, I enjoyed having Casey on, and I can't wait till she comes back on, and she came up with some great stuff for us to try and make an opinion on. Even though it's a bit hard when it's an audio podcast and you're trying to get visual ideas and things and talk about things like that. It was good. So yeah, that's quite possibly my favourite episode at the moment. Although Fight Night was certainly up there. I mean, that was huge. That was that was really good. But
definitely a lot of fun.
And I think also having Claire and
Mitch Mattel, yeah. You know, that guy from Lost Eye Productions, you know.
That's the one.
The director dude.
Yeah. The other guy, yeah.
Yeah. I must admit, he didn't have much to say, but, he was... What he did say.
He cursed a lot.
Oh, 48 times. Not that I had to bleep them out or anything, but, yeah.
No. Definitely not.
In an hour, program is quite a lot to delete. But they were great. They were great coming on and talking us through what they do and who they've worked with as well. That was amazing. So we've had a good run. I think we started off obviously quietly, and then since we sort of got about five or six under the belt, we started really getting some good guests on and some good topics to talk about. I've been really pleased with the way this has been going.
Yep, me too. And actually, on the last episode of Rusted Robot, I don't know if you've heard it yet, but we're looking for another episode of UK Correspondent, Paul.
Oh, you see, the problem is I've got all this editing to do.
That's what I told Josh. I said he's so busy working on Cosmic Pizza, he has no time to send the stupid clip to Rusted Robot.
I'd have to come up with an idea, and it's bad enough coming up with ideas for this thing.
Well, you could send something real quick for the hypothetical of the week.
Oh yes.
Oh, I'm not that clever. That's more Dan's area of expertise.
Dan, send an email.
Yeah, I'm
Dan.
Trying to think. What I would
send an email.
It's
by
got
Friday.
To be a mech, hasn't it? You've got to build a mech based on any living creature or any extinct creature that has ever existed.
Any real creature that lived on Earth.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So you build a mechanical battle suit based on a living organism.
Mm. Yeah, I'm gonna have to think on that one. That's yeah. Because obviously, Josh came
sloth.
Up with, yeah, sloth, yeah. You just sit.
Kill a sloth.
Very slowly.
Yeah. If you get it when you're asleep.
Because Josh already took all the dinosaurs, so, yeah, he already mentioned that, you know, he wanted all the dinosaurs, so that kind of took all the Power Ranger references I was going to do. Yeah, no, I'm going to have to think of on that one.
Because it's difficult. I was thinking grasshopper or something, but I'm not sure.
Oh, can you imagine a whole. Flock, swarm of locusts like that, or grasshoppers, all mechanical, coming at you.
Right?
Yes.
You just strip your bare before you know what's going on. Just be a skeleton. So, <yeah. laughs>
I know what one it'd be, a praying mantis. It would be that because when I was a little kid, I used to wear out a VHS cassette of an old Japanese manga, which I've never been able to track down. And it was about a family who had a big sort of Zord mech creature, and they were fighting a mechanical robot praying mantis. And it was by a mountain volcano thing, and they punched it through the volcano, and it set the volcano off. And that's all I remember about this VHS. But I loved it as a kid. I just kept on watching it over and over again. And they had a mechanical or robot daughter that died because of the fight and everything. And it was really sad. It was very Optimus Prime-ish and all this kind of stuff. So I would go, yeah, Prey Mantis. Yeah, that's it. That's my answer.
So if anybody knows what that manga is, the title of it, they can send us an email with the response to...
The Cosmic Pizza Podcast at hotmail.com. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah,
is it Cosmic Pizza Podcast or the Cosmic Pizza Podcast?
Cosmic
What's
Pizza
the actual Podcast. Email address?
Cosmic Pizza.
Cosmic Pizza Podcast at hotmail.com. And of course, you went with Hotmail instead of Gmail because, if nothing else, we are three Hotmails. So,
yeah, we are nothing else.
If nothing else, we're three handsome gentlemen.
Have you got your video turned on? You can't actually see us.
Oh, crap.
Oh, it's been a still image this whole time.
I've not been frozen. This is actually my backdrop.
Oh, foiled
that's,
again.
That's
nice.
Chris
yeah,
Pine.
That's Patrick Stewart. That's,
Oh, I thought you guys all looked like Anson Mount.
Now that is a good-looking man. He is a very fine man.
That's
hashtag
man
goals. If you ever wanted to get to it.
Yes, if you haven't watched Hell on Wheels, you owe it to yourself to watch that thing.
That's a
Paul. Have you watched it?
No,
that's old sort of
so you've got
cowboy town,
okay.
Isn't it?
So it the description sounds like the most boringest fucking piece of shit ever. It's the 1860s, and they're building a railroad across the United States. Now that's basically what it's about, and it sounds as boring as fuck. But you got Colm Meaney, Chief O'Brien himself. You've got Anson Mount, who plays Captain Pike in season 2 of Star Trek Discovery. You've got Christopher Heyerdahl as the villain, the Swede, who was in an episode of season 3 of Discovery. You got Jake Weber, who was in episode 2 of Star Trek Discovery. It's like a whole thing. And it's actually really good. It's 5 seasons of pure amazement. I didn't want to watch it when it first came out because I was like, fuck, who cares about a fucking railroad in the United States? But actually, I started watching it and I was like, this is one of the best shows I've ever seen in my entire life. Hey, Dan.
Tell you what I did watch. This is I've just got distracted by something. I was just looking up Anson Mount to see who he was. I realized who he was now. And then I just, as you do with YouTube, you type in one thing and you find another. I got a Michael J. Fox thing about Parkinson's disease, which obviously he sadly suffers with. Which reminds me, I have watched all 3 episodes of the Back to the Future.
Finally,
which we didn't discuss in the last episode we recorded. So, there you go.
And did you enjoy it?
I did. Yeah. Turns out I've never seen any of them.
Huh.
I thought I'd seen the first one, but obviously I just saw lots of clips, lots of bits, over the years. So yes, I hadn't actually seen all of it. Second one certainly I hadn't seen, and when I got to the third one, I thought, oh, I remember the very last scene, because that's probably a bit I walked in on when my wife was watching it. So yeah, the first one I pretty much knew what was going on and what happened and all the bits, so yeah, because I'd seen them. So that was good. Second one I thought was a bit meh. Going into the future, and it's always an awkward thing to do when you project into the future, and it, of course, especially if you've already been there, as we all have, it's hard to say that that's exactly what is going on at the moment, but it was very much the, dystopian type future by the time, obviously, Griffith had his way with it. But the third one, surprised me, because it's basically just a Western. Mm-hmm. With no science in it whatsoever. It's just a Western. I actually quite like Westerns. I didn't think I did. I've watched a few of a time, but more recently I've been sort of getting into them. And yeah, I actually quite enjoyed the third one. It was a good, nice little romp. And as happens in every one of them, is the bully gets beaten.
Yes.
Which is always a good thing. Absolutely. So, you don't like bullies. The actor who played Griff is amazing in the third one, because halfway through I thought, is this really the same actor? Is it the same guy? He looks nothing like him. And blimey, it is, obviously. It's just like amazing bit of work. But yeah, it was great. I really did enjoy it. Would I watch it again? Well, if it's on, I wouldn't turn it off. But yeah, I thought I don't see how Lee can say the second one was his favourite. Well, that's Lee's personal opinion, obviously. The first one's the classic. The third one, I think, really rounds it off nicely and finishes it off really well. The second one in the middle was a bit sort of a bit of a filler. But the thing I do like is it builds its sandbox and plays in it. It doesn't break its own rules. And the rules are pretty good to fit what physics believes happens in, if you could time travel. I believe Carl Sagan said it was very accurate in that respect. And if he says it, then fine. I'll go with that. I'm not so sure about two people being in the same place at the same time. That's just my opinion. I don't think you can double up on the amount of atoms in the universe that way, but maybe somebody could explain that to me, but hey, you've built, like I say, they build the sandbox and they play in it and they stay in it. So yes, it's really clever. The writing's really clever. There's lots of nice little callbacks to the same thing happening in the first episode and happening in the third episode, spinning, registration plates, the catchphrases that they have, and then they reverse them in one of the films. It's all the little things like that, little callbacks to the original. And yeah, I like it. Yeah, it was really good.
So you recommend a trio of 30-some-year-old movies that you finally got around to watching?
Yes.
Excellent.
Finger on the pulse. That's this show. That's definitely what we're all about.
Yeah, that's right.
To use to use somebody else's scoring rating, I would give that 5 Raoul Julias.
But how many rivets would you give it?
Oh, 5. Out of 5, I would give 5 rivets.
Okay. I think it was out of 10 rivets, but we haven't done that forever. So.
We'll go for 10 rivets then. I can spare a few rivets.
You can spare a few?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, it goes down as a classic along the lines of Star Wars and, all those sort of classic films that everybody should watch in their lifetime. And that is, it's a good family film. It doesn't harm anybody, and it's accurate in what it does. Yeah, I like it.
Well, if you like the Back to the Future trilogy, you might like the original Star Wars trilogy, too.
Oh, the original Star Trek. Now, this is the 1970s, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Not the actual prequels that...
I wouldn't recommend that to anybody.
You know, it's not that bad.
No, it's not, but it's not that great.
No, it's not great, but it's very political and it works. Okay, cut out all of the Jar Jar Binks stuff. But the actual, I mean, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to the characters later on. But the political side of things, if you look at the political machinations of how the Emperor tries to get into power, that's a clever bit of the story. I like that bit. It then totally messes up the rest of it when you realise that, you know, Darth Vader's just killed off shitloads of kids. And then later on he gets into the Force and they all go, oh, yes, he's here. There he is. He's been a good boy. I ignore those kids that he's killed. Forget that. Yeah, it does make a mess of it, but you can't beat the original. You can't beat the originals.
No. It's pretty hard to beat that, for sure.
And they certainly didn't make it any better with the last three.
No, but Rogue One was really good.
Yes.
Still haven't seen that all the way through.
Really annoys me.
You gotta watch that.
Oh, that's definitely worth a watch. But the trouble is, and they should go back and play in that sandbox, because the characters they brought in there were phenomenal. They were brilliant characters. There were some really, really good people in there, and they kill them all off. Well, obviously, they have to. You know, that's the story. But it's... the characters there were fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And if they could go back and play around with those characters again, that'd be great. But so, have either of you two seen The Mandalorian?
It's all of season one, but I haven't started on season two yet. I'm still thinking about getting Disney Plus.
Yeah, waiting for all of season two to come together, and then we're just going to back-to-back watch it straight the way through. But
yeah, because
I've heard plenty of spoilers.
Okay, so I've not seen it, but we now do have Disney Plus. I didn't particularly want it, but it comes with the package, so I'd have it. So one of the plus sides of it, of course, is The Mandalorian's on there. So I thought, I'll wait till that comes around again for season one, then we'll hit the record series, and then we'll go for the lot of them. So I'll give that a watch. So worth a watch?
Yes. If you like your westerns, it is a western in space. Every scene.
Excellent. Even though you got that little Yoda fella.
Yeah, the Yoda fella is not only cute, not only super cute, but the mission that the Mandalorian has to go on for the whole season around this character is just, it's simple, it's understated, it's not overblown, not overcomplicated. He just needs to do A, B, and C every episode, and it just enjoys being there in that universe and treating it like it is the gunman with no name walking into a town and has to solve the problem of the week, and it is just...
Ooh, that's a trope that I like. Lots of 1970s TV series like that. So
it builds its own intrigue sort of in the background, but every episode could be watched in sort of a standalone side of it on its own. And then at the end of each episode, it just leads you into the next one. I haven't watched the documentary. Apparently that's supposed to be really good, of how they put it all together and what they made from it. But no, definitely well recommended.
Well, you boys talk amongst yourselves. I need to go take a bathroom break. Currently I've been drinking all afternoon.
Now that he's gone.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. They're never going to deliver his ships, are they? No, that's it.
No, because I've got them all. I redirected his mail.
Schön Wunderle.
Somewhere in the northwest of England. Okay. Yeah. So good.
It's very, very good. And there are little scenes that happen through it that might not have anything to do with The Mandalorian. There is one particular scene that my son absolutely loved when he watched it, and it's just two stormtroopers talking shop for about 5 minutes, and you're wondering where on earth this scene is going, and then suddenly the Mandalorian turns up, and it is just hilarious to watch. Not going to give it away, not going to say what actually happens in the scene, but it's just these two stormtroopers, and they're like, so what are we doing Tuesday? You up to anything? No. And you wonder, this is like five minutes. They've been talking for 5 minutes, not saying a single word. And then
It was a bit like that in the last film, wasn't it? The last Star Wars film, where they have a couple of stormtroopers just talking away there.
Oh, then he's having a bad day.
Yeah, the one who sort of shushes the one away when Kylo Ren was like slicing everything up. He was just like, yeah, yes. Man, just back away.
Yeah, just back away. Yeah. Good. Yeah, because we went through the Disney Plus and my wife said, oh, look, Frozen 2. And, oh, God, no, please. So we've recorded that. And,
Not that bad. Yeah. Frozen 2 wasn't that bad.
I have not seen Frozen 1, but they have. And the only good thing that came out of Frozen 2 was the parody, the Star Trek parody of the song. make it so. So, yeah.
So you're talking about cartoons on Disney when I was gone.
Basically, just saying about the Mandalorian, and because we got Disney, I flicked through it, and we found Frozen 2 was on there. The wife likes that, so she's going to record that. And there was something else that I said, oh, I haven't seen that for a while. And we hit the record button on that. I can't remember what that was now.
There's a few things. You know, there's the old 90s X-Men cartoon, which I'm always still trying to watch every now and then. Trying to get the boys in the room and then sort of, oh, look, I press play on this. Look, well, let's watch this. Let's sit down and watch the X-Men cartoon. It's very good. Please get into this.
Make them watch Thundercats.
Oh, they're going to get around to Thundercats, I'm sure. They are watching the one that came out, was it a couple of years ago? They redid it where it was like younger versions of the... It was a bit more sort of... It wasn't as serious. It was sort of a silly take.
Yeah, I've only seen the original from the '80s. Mm. But Kitty, who is my sometimes co-host on Rusted Robot, highly recommends the 2011 version.
Nice. I'll have to look that one up. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the He-Man one that Kevin Smith is making. I can't wait to see that.
Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Yeah.
They're almost finished now, I think. They've been doing all the post-production behind the scenes because they can just send in recordings and, you know, artists can still work at home. So I think that hasn't really been affected by lockdown, but that should be next year sometime. But really looking forward to that.
Well, next year's coming soon. It's only a month and a half away.
Yeah, exactly.
So. And by the time this episode comes out, it will be next year.
Yeah.
Hey,
time travel.
It's time travel, folks. It's the power of math, people.
It is the power of math.
The other thing we spotted on Disney Plus was on Sky, they've got a superheroes bit. Mm. They've got a channel which they put over. First of all, it was Harry Potter stuff. Now it's gone on to superheroes. So a lot of the superheroes films are on there. And the original, I say original, the early 2000s Fantastic Four was on there with Jessica Alba, etc., etc.
Yes, I own those on DVD. I haven't watched them in years because they're no good, but I have them.
Ah, now I can feel another Fight Night coming on here. Ooh. There's nothing wrong with them. Absolutely nothing wrong with them.
I enjoy them. They're just not very good.
I don't see why they're not very good. They are very good compared to the new one, because the new one.
The new one's horrible.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's got a very good ending, but in the sense that the fight sequence was over very quickly and they sorted it out without dragging it on for like 20 minutes. But the original, I can still quote parts from that, which I can't even remember anything from the last one.
No, that's true. That's true. I'm just saying they weren't, neither any of the three weren't made by Marvel and Disney. So that's why they're not as good as if they were in the MCU. But you still get your Stan Lee cameo. You still have Jessica Alba. So, yeah, you can't go wrong.
You've got Michael Chiklis as the Thing. I mean, he's just brilliant.
Yes, Michael Chiklis. He's awesome. Where did he go? Why don't we see him anymore?
I don't know. That's another thing that I want to watch as well is...
The Commish?
Ooh, no.
The Shield?
What was the thing? Shield, yeah. That was the thing. I've got to watch that as well.
Oh, but he was in the Commish before the Shield.
Mm. Another thing I have to watch.
that's a long time ago. I don't remember when that even was. The Commish. Let me IMDb it for you right now, since we're live on video here. And I will tell you when the Commish came out. Let's see.
But no, I think
I used to watch that with my grandmother.
I think a fight night on this should be pretty good. Debating the first one at least.
The Commish was 91 to 96, starring Michael Chiklis and Teresa Saldana. or Sandana or something. I don't know. It's really small, and my eyes aren't working because I've been drinking. So, Frieza somebody.
Santana?
Okay. Let me see if I can get this bigger. That's what she said.
yeah. Never worked it.
Teresa Saldana, who died in 2016. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, so the commish, 91 to 96, starring Michael Chiklis as a police commissioner. Don't ask me anything else about it, because I haven't watched it in years, but it's something I used to watch with my grandmother. Before he was in the Shield, or he was the Thing.
No, I like that. I like the original. Because we watched it with our kids, and then...
Oh, I hear some pussies.
That's it. That's the cat. There she is.
Ah, hello, cat.
There you go. There's Millie.
What is Kitty Cat's name?
This is Millie, or Maleficent, as we like to call her, because she is evil.
Nice.
Bringing it back to Disney? Yes.
She wants food at the moment.
Yeah, she just wants attention right now. I'm going to quickly feed her, and then I'm going to grab another cider. Hang a second.
Okay.
Okay, well, since Dan is leaving, let's talk about Babylon 5. Do you like Babylon 5?
I love Babylon 5.
I think I'm due for a rewatch on Babylon 5. Oh, it's been a few years.
I think the first three... Is it first three seasons?
No, the middle three.
Oh, no. I think the early ones are better.
Seasons 2, 3, and 4 is so well connected. Season 1's pretty good, and season 5 is hit and miss. But it's probably my favorite TV series, like standalone TV series. Like, I love me some Star Trek.
He's back.
See, I always catch the end of the conversation. Oh, no.
Yeah, we were just talking about how amazing Babylon 5 is.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Now, you see, I think the first season, I've watched the first season probably 3 or 4 times.
Mm.
Mainly because that's when it was, you know, it was on, then it was repeated, and then I got the box set, and, you know, I watched that. The last 3, 4, and 5, maybe, or 4 and 5, I hadn't seen before, so the first time I'd seen it was when I got the box set. And I kept reading things about saying, oh, he brings it, you know, what happens in the first season, you know, is finalized in the last season, and all that. I found by the time I got to the end of it, I couldn't remember what the hell had happened in the first season. So I didn't know whether it was any good or not. And then there was the films, and it got to the point where season 4 and 5 were the, what was the commander's name in the,
Sheridan?
Sheridan, yeah. It was the Sheridan and Delenn show at the end of it. It was just those two.
It was. But just remember, if you go to Zahadoom, you will die.
Yeah. Unless you're Sheridan.
Yes. And then you have 20 years.
Yeah. No, I thought it was amazing the way that they started off with the original commander, and then obviously for reasons he had to leave the show. And they brought in the second one seamlessly, brilliantly done. Claudia Christensen is amazing all the way through. I follow her on Facebook, and she's
me too.
Really good. Oh, she's amazing.
Yes, amazing. You know what? She did a voice acting work in Blood of Zeus, which just came out on Netflix a couple weeks ago.
Oh, right.
That's the animation on Netflix. Is it
the Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's 8 episodes. She plays Hera, Zeus's wife.
She was also in a couple of computer games that my lads play, and I can't remember which ones they were now. Might have been Call of Duty or something along those lines. And they recognised her voice, but obviously the person, the character she played, not obviously didn't recognise her.
No.
But yeah, there's lots of quotable lines from her in this show. She's a great character.
Yep. One of the best.
And also an amazing person. She's battled, obviously, a lot of hardship in her life and alcoholism and what have you. So, I absolutely love her. And, of course, her and Mira Furlan, great combination.
Yeah, definitely good. And, anybody who hasn't seen Babylon 5 owes it to themselves to watch it. Season 5 is kind of meh, because remember Byron for half of it? That was like a bunch of bullshit. But it has one of the best episodes of the entire series, which is the Day of the Dead, where the one species owns half the station for one night, so all the dead people come back. Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That's clever. There's some very good writing in it. And when you consider it's all really set in a small area, you know, it's mostly set on the space station. They obviously do go out into other places, but it's mostly studio-based, you know, the filming that they're doing. It relies heavily on its writing, and its writing is phenomenal. The special effects are dated, I will say, but that was because
it was done computer on imaging.
Computer imaging that was done on Commodore Amigas, which would take days and days and days in order to render the actual images. Not just, oh, it's done and filmed, and not like it is now. These things were so slow and not that powerful, but they were still amazing that I cannot believe. I used to have a Commodore Amiga. I used to have the Amiga Plus. I used to have the two of them. There was only like 1 megabyte of memory or something stupid like that. It was really small. And yet they produced some amazing graphics when you look at them from silly computers.
And the story is so good, the computer graphics don't even matter.
No. Mm. Oh. But also, they the ships that they use and they fly conform to Newtonian physics. Mm. So, in other words, they only have to thrust and they go in that direction. And then you can spin them round, but they're still going in the same direction. And that's perfect. That's exactly how it should be. The idea of the spaceship, the space station rotating to keep the sort of artificial gravity is incredible. And they can travel through the center of it where there is no gravity. And at one point in the first season or first couple of seasons, Sheridan falls out of the ship, out of the travel thing in the middle, and starts floating down slowly. And you think, well, that's fine. You know, gravity is going to, he's just floating until you hit the floor. You are still floating. That's perfect. I get that. But of course, you forget that there's buildings traveling at like 1,000 miles an hour. So as soon as he gets anywhere close to a building, he's going to get splattered. So it's things like that I like, you know, the actual, you know, conforming to physics, real physics in the real universe. But I just, the whole show is amazing, especially the first, like I say, three seasons are really, really good. The characters are brilliant, although it's sort of episodic but does have a theme in the background that's going through it.
Yes.
The actors are amazing, absolutely amazing. I love, of course, we have a Star Trek connection there with Katsalas, is his name? I can't remember his name. Andreas.
Andreas Katsalas, who played Jakar, who played Ambassador or Commander Tomalak in Next Generation.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And Alfred Bester, played by Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov in the original series.
Correct. So, yeah, that was, and again, there's some phenomenal acting in there from the other characters, you know, that.
Yes.
Just. Ghost Wars.
You've seen it, Dan?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Seen some of the movies. I haven't seen all of the old movies that came around it. I loved the one that was the prequel, where it was how Sheridan got his reputation as the Star Killer, or what was his nickname? Oh, God, what was it? What did they used to refer to?
Yeah, I can't.
But you saw them strapping themselves in with the seat belts into the seats, because otherwise they would float away. And it comes back into what Paul was saying. It was much more believable that these guys were trying to get through space. They weren't just gliding through and everything was fine.
Right.
It was just hard and it was, everything was difficult to get around. Nothing was just easy.
And it takes place, it starts in the year 2258, and of course, the original series of Star Trek takes place in 2265, so it's only 7 years difference, but the Babylon 5 universe looks way more lived in and normal, and like actual, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the big difference between Star Trek. Everything's too clean in Star Trek.
And of course, they don't rely on money in Star Trek, but for some reason... Right. Until Deep Space Nine, then they purely rely on money.
Yes.
And then Picard, where everybody needs money, but no one seems to have it. So,
yeah.
Yes. It's okay. We've got our self-stealing stem bolts. Yeah. We don't need money. Yeah, so is there anything else to talk about before we wrap this up and let Paul do some editing?
Okay, well, I think looking ahead... into the next few episodes, I'm hoping to get I've already had an agreement from him, the owner of Snips DVD store, which you've heard me mention many times. He has agreed to have an interview. The reason being is I've been thinking about asking him for a while just to say, tell us about owning, I believe it's now one of only two DVD stores in the UK. There's another one in Bristol. Tell us what it's like to own the store and how did you come about it, etc., etc. Simple question, get a few answers from that. Hey-ho, episode done. Recently, he put out on his Facebook page that he had an episode of The Replicant. Jean-Claude Van Damme, 2002. Such a brilliant movie that went straight to DVD. He said, I've got six copies of these. Come and get them. You might find something interesting inside. There's a booklet, and in that booklet there's an interview with one of the cameramen and also the writer. Okay, fine. And then you read who did the interview, and it's the owner of Snips DVD. And he's got, and his name's in the booklet, Dave Wayne, and his friend of his, whose name, A, I can't remember, and B, I couldn't pronounce anyway, because it sounds Eastern European, and I can't. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but when we come to that episode, I will certainly have it. And they had basically got the interview, and so I thought, okay, fine. How on earth did he get that? Then I realised I remembered also that he's got a website which I went onto, and he does this a lot. He interviews a lot of people who are the designer of this, or the script editor of that, or the camera second production cameraman from here, and people who you wouldn't sort of normally hear about. You hear about the directors, the writers, the producers, the actors, whatever. You very rarely hear about the crew, and he's got lots of interviews with the crew who obviously have probably better stories to tell about the making of or how it became. And certainly the writer of The Replicant, which is actually one of Jean-Claude Van Damme's better films, I think. I haven't seen a great deal of his, but the ones I have seen tend to be a bit sort of him doing his kickboxing thing. This, yes, there's a bit of that in there, but is a deeper thing where he is a replicant, and there is another replicant made in the same identical version of him. They share their thought patterns so they can read each other's minds. And one's going around killing people, because that's what he's been designed to do, and the other has just been, and I use air quotes here, born, and they use him to find the killer, and the guy who plays the, obviously there's a policeman involved who has to take him around to find the killer, whose name is going to escape me, because I can't think of his name. He played in Guardians of the Galaxy, he played the guy who whistles and the
Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker. Thank you very much. That's the guy's name. Michael Rooker plays the cop. The two of them are phenomenal. Him and Van Damme play brilliantly off each other, and it's a really good film. You watch it and you think, oh, I can see why this went straight to DVD. It's awful. The effects are a bit basic. They're all practical effects, so they're great. Crashing of cars, ambulances, anything blowing up is all practical, so it's great. And you're thinking, well, God, really, the story is pretty poor. But the acting between the two of them is great. And it's Van Damme has to play this evil guy who's killing everybody. He has to play this person who's just been born and he's learning things. He's like a child trying to learn how to do things and, you know, eat and drink and speak and stuff like that. And you see him mature right the way through the film. You know, every now and again he's getting better. He can talk. He can understand. He can now realize he's got to stop this killer. It's an awful film, and then once you finished it, for weeks afterwards you're thinking, well, actually, what about when he did this? And that bit was amazing, and all of the acting was really good. The story was crap, but it was really, for weeks afterwards I'm still thinking about the film. And if it has that effect on you, it's a good film.
So, yes, definitely.
Yeah. So then I read the booklet. Now, I've got a copy of, I actually photographed it, so I've got a copy of it, which I can send over to you. And you read the interview, and the guy who wrote the story originally had a lot of it taken apart and was rewritten by a screenwriter who took out a lot of the parts of his thing. So the original story was lost. The ending was changed to make it nice and happy at the end, which wasn't the sort of like the ending he wanted. And there was bits of it. There was a few bits that stayed in, but basically it had been totally rewritten, which is why it probably didn't do so well. Because if it stuck to the original, it probably would have done even worse, to be honest. But really, there was a lot of good points to it that should have been kept in. And the way the character sort of very quickly came to terms with who he was and what he was doing wasn't really the way it was written originally. And I think the director was a good friend of Jean-Claude Van Damme, so of course there's collaboration there, and it sort of moved away from what it was supposed to be originally. But like I say, Dave Wayne had got the interview with this guy and the cameraman as well. So it piqued my interest. So I went into the store to get some box sets, as I mentioned earlier. Said to him, would you like to come on the show and have a chat? Because I know he's done a podcast before. And he said, yeah, no problem. Just give me a call and we'll do it. And now he's closed. He might have some more time to do it. So hopefully we'll get him on the show in the next couple of weeks. And with the next couple of episodes, he should be on the show.
Excellent.
Nice.
I'm also hoping to get maybe somebody from the Gerry Anderson universe. I'd like to get somebody who would be high up.
Like Jonathan Frakes, who directed 2004's Thunderbirds?
Oh my god, if I could actually speak to him, I would. My speech would just go, blah, blah, blah. I love you so much.
There's a great bit, right? There's a great bit in Community where one of the characters meets LeVar Burton for the first time and he can't talk in his presence, so he just stands there in the whole episode just doing this.
I would be like that.
Sounds about right.
He's my favourite character in Star Trek. I love him as an actor because he never looks as though he's acting. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what an actor should be. You know, some things you can see with anybody else in that show who is a great stage actor, and obviously I'm talking about Patrick Stewart here. You can see them acting. And Shatner was the same. They were stage actors. They came on. They give that big performance, and I'm going to recite Shakespeare and all this crap. So you can see them acting. With Frakes, when he's talking to people, when he's dealing with others, when he's talking to this woman over my shoulder here, Marina Sirtis, when he's talking to her or LeVar Burton or anybody in the show, it looks as though he's talking to them, not acting with them.
Yes.
And he is so, so underrated as a director. Mm. It's unfortunate that obviously the industry hasn't really taken to him. But he directed the Thunderbirds film. Papa, there it is. I have it here, which I'm going to rewatch at some point. He didn't do a bad job on that. Mm. It was down to the story that was crap, and it focused on the wrong person. It should have been bigger and better and bolder. There was nothing wrong with the effects. There was nothing wrong with the acting. There was some great acting in there, but it focused on Alan when it should have focused on the whole idea of Thunderbirds and not just the one person. Great idea of, you know, a single parent bringing up five kids. That idea was good, but it's not a thing of Thunderbirds. But anyway, I'd love to get somebody on that. I won't mention the name just in case I can get them on. There's two people I'd love to get on who had direct contact with Gerry Anderson and their shows. I probably won't get them. What I'd like to do is get somebody from the Facebook page, which is run by two or three ladies and a couple of gentlemen. They do quizzes, they do competitions, they draw, they throw stuff on that they've created. It's an absolutely brilliant little Facebook page devoted to Gerry Anderson, all things Gerry Anderson. If I can get a couple of them on to talk about Thunderbirds and Captain Scarlet and Joe 90, etc., etc., then they will be on the show in a couple of weeks as well. But I need to get in touch with somebody and arrange it all and see whether that can happen. Please, please, please make it happen. Other than that, and maybe another fight night, we'll see what comes up over the next few weeks. All ideas welcome. If anybody's listening to the show and thinks, hey, I've got an idea, or that film that you just mentioned was crap, even though you think it was good or whatever, or just by all means, get in touch with us on our email. And I'm starting to slur my words because I have now had a famous grouse, which was very nice. There you go, you see.
Famous grouse.
Was very nice.
We're in Dr. Seuss territory.
Yeah.
Cosmic Pizza Podcast at hotmail.com.
That's the one. Thank you, Sober Shaw. And I'm now onto the Midnight Port, which I should have brought some cheese with, but never mind.
That does sound delicious. However, I have to work in the morning. So,
so do I. Who the fuck cares?
Who the fuck cares, he says. No bleeping necessary.
That's the subtext to our show today. Cosmic Pizza Cup Podcast. Right. Who the fuck cares?
Nobody else does. Why should we? There you go.
And on that note, I think we could quite easily end that podcast, since it is now 11 o'clock in the UK.
So we've been your hosts on the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. All the grease is fucking cold and congealed and gross. So this is part where we sign off. Thanks for listening. What did we take away from this? When we get drunk, we get sweary. So thanks again for listening, and take care, and good night. How's that?
Perfect. There's no better way you could end that, really, is there?
I don't think so.
Today we've been your deliverers, so please leave a tip at the door by subscribing for future deliveries, rate and review our service, and we hope you come back for more helpings next time. You can find us, as we mentioned, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and TikTok by searching for the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. If you'd like to send us an MP3 file, you can email us at cosmicpizzapodcast@hotmail.com, and we'll catch you on the next episode of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.